Welcome to the Art of Mathematics. I'm Carol Jacoby, and joining us once again is Joseph Benesch, Professor Emeritus of California State University, Long Beach. Hello, Joseph. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Carol, very much for having me.
One thing I've heard about a lot is Fourier analysis, and I was wondering, can you tell us about Joseph Fourier and what he did? I really know nothing about him.
Fourier is an extremely interesting individual. Had a very interesting life, coincided with the French Revolution, Napoleon. I very much recommend reading about Fourier's life. There is a biography of Joseph Fourier. This is his first name is Joseph, to distinguish it from another famous Fourier. But Fourier, foremost, is known for his contributions to mathematics and physics. In particular, he developed Fourier analysis as a method, which has become pervasive in engineering and physics and mathematics. Mathematics both applied and theoretical, pure mathematics. It's just incredible how it's pervaded modern science. But I don't want to talk about Fourier analysis today because simply isn't time to talk about that and his other work. And his other work is in, one could say, physics. In heat and understanding heat and analyzing heat flow. And he introduced a partial differential equation called the heat equation, which he purported that it was the right equation to describe how heat flows, how to predict temperature of an object as heat flows through it. And he wrote a magnum opus called The Analytic Theory of Heat, where he describes how he came upon the heat equation. And then he applied his analysis, which he developed, to solve particular problems. He was then both a physicist and a mathematician, although his reputation has had its ups and downs. There's a famous French mathematician who explains why his work has been controversial at times, why at times his reputation has been eclipsed. And today, he's regarded as a monumental figure, both in physics and mathematics.
Why was his work controversial?
Well, as the French mathematician Jean-Pierre Cahan said, he was too much of a mathematician for the physicists and too much of a physicist for the mathematicians. So he was rather kind of between two fields. And in fact, one could say that he developed a new field called mathematical physics. What I'd like to do is put the heat equation in historical context somewhat, and furthermore address the question, why is it that the heat equation is naturally described as a differential equation, a partial differential equation? And in fact, in physics, the fundamental equations, almost universally, are differential equations, in fact, partial differential equations. So I need to say what a partial differential equation is. However, to spice things up a little bit, I want to quickly mention at the end a controversy over the age of the Earth. In the 19th century, there was a major controversy in science, pitting the geologists and Darwin, the evolutionists, against the physicist William Thomson, who claimed that the Earth couldn't be more than 100 million years old, and probably more 20 million years old. And you base that physical evidence in connection to mathematical analysis and Fourier's theory of heat. So he very much applied Fourier's theory of heat and Fourier analysis to obtain his estimate of the age of the Earth. Turned out he was pretty far off, which is good for the theory of evolution, because 20 million years made Charles Darwin very nervous, simply not enough time, it appeared, to make Darwin comfortable. He wanted more time, like several hundred million years at least. Well, it turns out that the Earth is, in fact, between 4 and 5 billion years old. So Darwin would be pleased to know that, in fact, Lord Kelvin was quite wrong in his estimate. And the question is, why? Is it something wrong with Fourier's analysis? Is it something wrong with Fourier's heat equation? What is it? But before I go there, why is it that partial differential equations are pervasive in physics? For instance, Maxwell's equations, which describe electricity and magnetism, Fourier's equation, which describes heat flow, Euler's equation, which describes fluid flow, D'Alembert, 18th century French mathematician, described the vibrations of a string, such as a violin string. That was also a partial differential equation called the wave equation. And in modern times, 20th century physics is based on relativity theory and the other revolution being quantum mechanics. And at the heart of those theories are partial differential equations. Einstein's equation in general relativity is a partial differential equation. And in quantum mechanics, one has Schrödinger's equation, which is also a partial differential equation. So one sees that partial differential equations are everywhere in physics today. Why is that? Well, if we go back to the beginning of modern physics, Newton and Leibniz, what one has are differential equations. The basic equation of Newton is that which describes dynamics. It relates force to acceleration. And what one has there is a derivative or a second derivative, because acceleration is the rate of change of velocity. This is the instantaneous rate of change, which corresponds in mathematics to a derivative. One could also think in terms of infinitesimals. If one rewrote that equation, that force is the mass times the acceleration, one would have over a short time period that the change in velocity induced by a force over a short time is proportional to the elapsed time. But this is only approximate. To get precise identity in an equation, one has to go to the limit, in a sense, let time interval approach zero. And in that case, the relationship becomes a relationship between infinitesimals. The infinitesimal of velocity is equal or proportional to the infinitesimal change in time. So what one has then is that Newton's basic law relating force and acceleration can be thought of as a relationship between infinitesimals or as a differential equation. But note here that there's only one independent variable, and that is time. Newton studied then point masses and their gravitational interactions, looked at one of his great achievements is analyzing the two-body problem, deducing just based on his basic fundamental equations of gravity and dynamics that the Earth moves about the sun in an ellipse, a tremendous achievement. However, that's just two bodies. If we go to a vibrating string, and that was analyzed in the following century, in the mid-18th century by D'Alembert, one has to change one's points of view. It's no longer just two-point masses. One has to look at an extension, an idealized representation of a vibrating string. But then one is looking at, if one thinks of the string as horizontal, is that one wants to know what its vertical displacement is as a function of position and time. So now there's two independent variables, the position and time. And the dependent variable is the vertical displacement. He wrote down the partial differential equation because now it involves derivatives with respect to time and position of the vertical displacement, and then was able to analyze that. That equation is called the wave equation, one-dimensional wave equation, D'Alembertian after D'Alembert. And this is perhaps the first partial differential equation in history. However, it became a model for studying heat for studying electricity, magnetism, and fluid flow. In particular, Fourier, in studying heat and temperature, wanted to have an equation which could predict, given certain data about the body, what the temperature would be at any time in the future, at any particular point. That is, what the temperature distribution be in the future, given what we know now. And he was very successful at that. It was a two-pronged approach, first writing down a partial differential equation, and then introducing mathematical methods, now known as Fourier analysis, to solve particular problems, given the shape of the body, the nature of the body, the initial temperature, for instance. Fourier was successful then at doing what others before were not able to do, and that is write down a partial differential equation that describes heat flow, and afterwards introduce mathematical methods for solving problems involving heat and temperature. This was then a paradigm for electricity and magnetism, the introduction of the idea of fields by Faraday, not long after Fourier did his work on heat. And one of the amazing things about partial differential equations is how they can lead to new theories, or how they can lead to predictions that are completely unanticipated. For instance, Maxwell's equations, using some clever mathematical footwork, one can ask, what's the relationship between the partial differential equations of mathematical physics and mathematics itself? I would say one is that mathematics gives a language for writing the equations. Secondly, it supplies methods for solving the equations. And lastly, it can be used to deduce results or develop new theories that are more powerful. For instance, just to mention one, Maxwell's equations of electromagnetism, Maxwell himself was able to deduce, using mathematical analysis, that electricity and magnetism in free space would satisfy a wave equation, rather like the vibrating cord, vibrating string. And it turned out that the speed of these waves, are called electromagnetic waves today, was exactly the speed of light. What you deduce from that is that light itself is an electromagnetic phenomenon. So this is simply based on mathematical deduction, quite amazing. Hertz, a few years later, detected a new type of electromagnetic radiation as predicted by Maxwell. It's today called radio waves. And a few years after that, Marconi invented radio communication, which has transformed modern life. One could go on and on giving examples, but what I want to do in conclusion is mention the 19th century controversy on the age of the Earth and how that connects to Fourier's heat equation. And in fact, Fourier's methods for solving his heat equation. This was an analysis that was done by the great mathematical physicist William Thomson, also known as Lord Kelvin. And based on his analysis, this involves some study of the Earth itself, but he also, to a great degree, relied on Fourier's work and deduced that the age of the Earth could not be more than 100 million years old. And in fact, in the end, he said it's about 20 million. How did he do that? Well, he had to make some assumptions. And one assumption is that the Earth is homogeneous, rather like a baked turkey. And then it cools off. So it's as if you have a baked turkey, you take it out of the oven, you put it into the freezer, it starts cooling down. The skin, being on the outside, cools down most rapidly. Then it takes time for the interior to cool down. So what he said is, based on what we know of how temperature increases as you go into the Earth, because it doesn't increase that rapidly, the Earth couldn't be that old. Basically, it's rather like the skin of a turkey, which cools down slowly, starting on the outside. Why was he off? His estimate was not incorrect because he was using an oversimplified model. It wasn't incorrect because Fourier was incorrect. Neither his heat equation nor his methods, mathematical methods, were incorrect. What was incorrect was a basic assumption that Kelvin made. He assumed that the Earth is basically inert, that the inside of the Earth, particularly the part of the Earth just below the crust called the mantle, does not flow. It stays where it is. And that seemed like a natural assumption. And basically, over 1,000 years, 10,000 years, that is more or less true. But over geological time, the mantle flows. And so what one has is not just heat conduction, but heat convection. And heat convection is much more efficient at transmitting heat. That was his basic error. This was pointed out to him by his assistant, John Perry. There's a beautiful article in American Scientist called Kelvin, Perry, and the Age of the Earth, which goes into much more detail. Perry had that insight. He saw that you could have something that looks solid, but in fact, over a geological period, it flows, and you have heat conduction. Perry used that change in hypothesis. He applied it, and he arrived at something that's close to today's value for the age of the Earth.
Very interesting. I wasn't aware of any of this. I like hearing about some of these applications of math because I tend to get down into the math.
It's good to peek over the fence and see what the physicists are doing on the other
side. That's right. Well, thank you again.
You're welcome.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have something you'd like to share on the air or a suggestion for a guest for a future show, leave a message at anchor.fm/theartofmathematics with hyphens, or email me at cjacoby@jacobiconsulting.com. And if you'd like to learn how to get answers from data, check out my class at excelfordecisionmakers.com. See you next month. Thanks for listening.